Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Buffalo Bills, maybe next year, Puppy Monkey Baby. My name is Scott.
I'm Frank.
And I'm Harvey Firestein. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry, I'm Paul. I forgot about that.
Paul is was hit by a car in his throat.
Yep. Straight on, right in the gullet.
Paul's got a throat.
Exactly. So forgive him for his voice. But his mind remains incisive as ever. And the first thing that he will be incising will be the Super Bowl, which just happened last weekend. It's something that it's the annual professional football championship for American professional football.
Yes, not all professional football, of course.
They play it every year, usually in February. I actually have an Italian friend who I met while I was overseas, and he is living in the States now, and he said... I was trying to get home when I was overseas to watch the Super Bowl with everybody because obviously I didn't want to be overseas for it, and he didn't really get it because he's from Italy, and now he lives in Norfolk, and he sent me an email, and he's like, I guess I understand now why you wanted to get back so bad. It's clearly a very important thing in America. And I'm like, yes it is.
Is there anything more universal in America than the Super Bowl? Is there anything that we all do as a country more? It's got to be like 4th of July and
racism.
Well, I meant like happy celebratory, like we all come together and do right. something.
And let's be honest, while we're good at racism, we've got nothing on like the South Africans of the world.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like we have very specific racism, and then like you go to other countries, and it's only because they're homogenous that you don't hear about their racism.
Yes.
It's only because they all are like, you know,
they just don't have an opportunity to show it.
They're all natives of country X, and so they just. But like, if you introduced like a person from the neighboring country, they'd be like, "Oh, that they eat their own children in that country over there."
Speaking of racist, Frank, ladies and gentlemen. I think the Super Bowl is kind of our national secular holiday. And I'm looking forward to the day when they just move it to the week of President's Day so we can all get the Monday after off.
Right.
My wife said the same thing. Why don't they have the Super Bowl the day before President's Day?
We need one more playoff round. We need to add another wild card round, and then you're in.
Or
Martin Luther King Day, which is, I think, how God intended it, was to have the day off afterwards.
So we will not have an hour and a half podcast tonight, so we will start talking about the actual Super Bowl that was played between the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. And let me just look at my crib sheet here. It says that Denver won, which is interesting.
Yes.
Because that was not what most people were picking, including yours truly, and I think at least one of you also picked Carolina to win based off the strength of them killing everyone in the NFC, which is generally the Stroller Conference. Frank, did you take Denver?
I believe I said something along the lines of, I have seen this script before, and having just seen the Bills destroy the Raiders 51-3 and a great offense was going to march in and win, that I thought Denver was going to be better prepared, and I think I either picked them or said that it was going to not be a cakewalk for the Panthers. So I think I had this one better than most. If not completely.
Yeah, I don't even remember who I picked, but I would have guessed I would have picked Carolina.
Yeah,
but go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think you did. I'll let you rest your voice for some real analysis. So, what was I going to say? So obviously, me and Paul are a little bit surprised. Frank, did you see the game playing out as it did?
I think, you know, I don't want to say that I saw it playing out that way. I guess I was saying if I was going to see Denver win, that was exactly how it was going to happen. Von Miller was insane. He was great, and that's exactly what the defense needed to do to beat Carolina. I am surprised that Carolina did not get into the end zone really at all. I think just once, and they were basically gifted that field position. It was striking to me that Carolina could do nothing with the football. They just had the same game plan, and they kept with these long drops, and they were just getting crushed. And they did not move over to something like an option or anything that sort of took advantage of Cam Newton's mobility. They really sort of laid him out there. And at the end, I believe him. I don't think he was, like, avoiding that football or trying not to get crushed. I think he's a good quarterback. I think you're a great team. You don't go 15-1 with a quarterback that sort of gives up on games or seasons. And certainly they the entire time felt like they probably had some dynamic offense that at any moment could start scoring points. It just didn't. But kudos to Denver for having the perfect personnel on the other side of the football and a great game plan, and Peyton Manning for doing exactly what was asked of him, right? I mean, that's exactly was the last year of Peyton Manning was get in there. It was the Fitz plus plan, right?
Yep. Well, I'm pretty sure they would have asked him to not take as many sacks or throw interceptions.
Yes, and for the most part, he did, except for when he didn't. But it didn't cost him because he didn't throw enough interceptions to make him lose.
Yes, no, that is what they were asking him to do. Please don't throw as many interceptions to make us lose. Mm-hmm. Another thing you want out of your Hall of Fame quarterback,
right?
So
he's basically 40. I mean, so.
No, yes, if I was 40, I don't think I would expect me to have more than 200 yards passing in a season. and that's all we'll say about that. Paul, right. Do you have any thoughts on the game itself? We're going to spend, again, the game was, I thought it was fun, but maybe not as interesting as everything that else that happened related to the Super Bowl, which makes it the event that it is today. So, Paul, any thoughts on the football played?
On the football played itself, it is one of those where I recognize and respect that most people felt this was an extremely boring game. But I would bring back Marion Motley to play. That was my type of football game.
Amen. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, you watch it. I loved watching Denver's defense this game, and Carolina's defense wasn't bad either. They did some good stuff on the field as well. But that was an enjoyable game to watch old-fashioned football happen. And you know, kudos to Denver. I like the fact we're not looking at a lot of controversy with this game, saying, oh, this blown call or this blown call. So we're not talking about officiating, which is good. Mm-hmm. You know, I really thought Von Miller just earned himself $18 billion and made himself so appropriately the number one and the number two pick in the draft were in this game. And he really did show how important a good linebacker can be over a great quarterback, which who would have thought we'd be talking about that after the game. You know, overall, I was just really happy to see such a solid defensive game by both clubs. I know it wasn't the most exciting to watch, but that's how good football is meant to be played. And kudos to the dominating defenses in that game, and kudos to Denver for winning on the strength of it. And while the record will show that it was a game won by Hall of Fame quarterback Peyton Manning, I would have taken Trent Dilfer of the Ravens over the Peyton Manning that we saw on Sunday. And I think, you know, they might have even won by more. So, food for thought.
I have a quick question for Scott. Could Ryan Fitzpatrick have won that football game with that defense?
Ryan Fitzpatrick have won that football game with that defense. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm not, you know.
I'm not about to advocate getting Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I see your point. I get your point. No, I don't think I would not extend my disgust of Fitzpatrick to say he couldn't be gifted that kind of a game and not be able to competently take snaps and turn around and hand the running back the ball or, you know, keep from fumbling when he's getting sacked. You know, I think he could handle it. But I think the easier thing is to find someone who's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick rather than have the perfect defense, which Denver
has. Right. That's entirely fair. Like, that was that's a special defense, and I'm not trying to pretend like it's not. So
yeah, no, and I think it is the one thing that I think I was noticing the whole time on Sunday is I was kind of intrigued as to I would say that it's not that Denver's defense isn't good, but I do think that they got more breaks in that game in general. I mean, I think it's not like Denver's offense couldn't have easily, you know, had someone throw another interception or get fumbled on a sack and have that happen in their own end so the other team gets the points. I mean, it already happened once, and they got 7 out of it. But then, you know, they had the big punt return. They had basically one decent running play. I am surprised that there weren't any kind of breaks that I feel like went Carolina's way, and that's maybe why the game was a little more out of hand by the end of it. And not that it wasn't tight most of the way, but I think that was interesting to me. I don't know. I'm not saying anything. It's just, it shows you how closely matched I think these teams are, honestly.
Sure.
I feel like it could have I feel like if you played this game 10 times, I feel like maybe Denver wins 6 or 7 of them, but I don't know that they win them all.
Very good.
Okay, so now on to the fun stuff, which is everything else that happens with the Super Bowl. So I have five other topics, and I will think of a sixth. Anyone have? Okay, so the five topics I have are Manning comments on beer, Newton comments on winning and losing, I have halftime show good or bad, I have best commercial, and I have worst commercial. Can I get a sixth? Because what we're going to do is we're going to pick which one we're going to comment on. We're going to have a snake draft.
Okay.
Has to comment on all of these
comments. Gotcha.
But we need a sixth commercial. I mean, the anthem, I think everyone kind of agrees, was fantastic, right? I mean,
Lady Gaga nailed it.
If you didn't like that anthem, you obviously just, your hatred of Lady Gaga blinds your logic.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so there's nothing else. I mean, I'm trying to think, was there anything else?
Oh, you know what? Eli Manning's face.
Eli Manning.
Fair or
okay,
foul.
Perfect. Thanks. Okay, good. So we so again, Manning beer, Newton comments, halftime show, good, bad, best commercial, worst commercial, Manning face. So I will start the snake draft, and I will take Newton comments, the easy one. Frank will go next.
Okay, I will take the one I picked, Eli Manning face.
Okay, Frank. And then Paul, what do you get the next two?
I'll take halftime show good or bad, and I will take Puppy Monkey Baby.
So that's best commercial or worst commercial?
Okay. I thought that was separate from best commercial, worst commercial.
No, so, I think that's just me saying Puppy Monkey Baby because I like it.
Oh, okay. I got it. I'll take best commercial, worst commercial. So yeah, and I'll say that's worst.
Okay.
I'm jumping right in.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And then, Frank, do you want Manning beer?
Yeah, I'll just go all Manning here. Yeah.
Okay. Manning all the time. And then I'll bet. So I was thinking best commercial, worst commercial was two, technically, Paul. So I'll just talk more about the commercials when you're done.
You got it.
So I will start with Cam Newton's comments. I will chalk, and this is for people who don't know, obviously Cam was very kind of upset at the end of Sunday's game, as one might be after losing a game that you've been looking to play your whole life. And he basically said, over the course of 8 questions and about 5 misses, probably didn't say more than 200 words, a lot of, what's your message to Panthers fans? We'll be back. Do you take Ron Rivera's carts about comments about Denver going to the Super Bowl and, you know, we're going to come back soon? No. Do you know why you didn't play well? Got outplayed. Do you know why? Got outplayed. Is there anything different that they showed you? Nothing different. Anything from the defense that was different? No. So a lot of that, I get it. And he came out the next day and basically said, you know, I'm not a good loser. If you find someone who is a good loser, it means that they're good at losing, essentially.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little disappointed, but not terribly so. Part of me wishes that we could... That I mean, it's clear how many people look up to him, and it's clear how many. And again, he's not asking for that, but at the same time, he does make money off of it to a certain extent. So he can't be completely and say like, I'm not expected to be a role model, and then also do Greek yogurt commercials and everything else he does. But at the same time, I'm not gonna kill him for it because ultimately he's still 26 or 27. I probably would not be in the mood to answer questions about something like this when I was 26 or 27. It would take me a little time to get some perspective on things and things that we accomplished over the season. But ultimately, I don't think I'm too upset. So yeah, I would have preferred if he had kind of shown some maturity, if he was mature enough to understand that, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a game and there's no reason he can't be a little more friendly given that the whole point of this is to kind of do this for the fans and people are interested because, again, that's what's paying your salary and paying for your endorsements. But I'm not going to kill him for it. I mean, yeah, I'd be pretty freaking pissed after Super Bowl. Anyone care to comment as well?
I'd just like to point out that he was getting a lot of crappy questions all week, and a lot of people were – there was a lot of that. There was a story in the Post this week after the Super Bowl by Adam Kilgore that basically – the Washington Post that was basically – the importance of Cam Newton has nothing to do with facts anymore. Literally, Cam Newton is just a lightning rod for, I like the way he plays the game, I don't like the way he plays the game. And I think some of his comments and questions were reflective of that, and they, even if they weren't, many, many people decided to just turn them into that. So I'm kind of thankful that Scott has a nice and reasoned and measured approach to just like, well, he was having a bad day and it wasn't the end of the world, as opposed to, I don't know, Buffalo's own Jerry Sullivan, who really sort of badgered him at the press conference about the black quarterbacks and the significance thereof, and basically more or less revealed himself to be a fucking old fool. So pardon my language. But I'm in agreement with you. I feel like he's a good quarterback, and I don't think you lead a 15-1 team if you're some sort of terrible, like, sore loser that no one can deal with. So.
Yeah, I would think so. Paul, any thoughts, or do you want to press on?
I'm not livid with him, but I have a little more disappointment with him because it's, you know, and you alluded to this, Scott. One, you're not being paid those millions and millions just to play football. You're being paid those millions and millions to be an entertainer and a role model and to deal with all the other crap that goes along with that job. And, you know, I think the bad message he sends is that, you know, he does not lose with humility. And there is something to be said for that because we talk about the phenomenal Tom Brady winning 4 Super Bowls. That means in his career he has not won a Super Bowl, what, about 12 times? So do all those times he not answer questions because, you know, he's upset that they didn't win the Super Bowl? No. It's a disappointment, and part of it is standing – he's not teaching people how to stand up and deal with life's disappointments, which, guess what? Even when you're Cam frickin' Newton, you're going to have disappointments in your life. So, yeah, I was definitely disappointed in him. I wish he had, you know, stuck it through, and I wish he'd had a chance when he went back and gave his reasoning. I wish he would have, you know, realized that, but he's still stuck in this ultra-competitive mode, which you need to be on the field. But you know what? You got to go. You got to answer the questions. So – I was disappointed in him.
All right. Frank, over to you for Manning Part 1. On the subject of Bud and Papa John's while we're at it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have some Bud and Papa John's just as soon as I finish my Harris Teeter brand wine over here. And let me just give a quick shout out to Nabisco for being the greatest. No, it was sort of weird, wasn't it, that he's just, I don't know, with him, like, clearly he's Mr. Commercial, and the fact that he said Budweiser twice, apparently Budweiser said they did not pay him to say that, and I sort of believe that Peyton Manning is the kind of guy who just likes Budweiser or says or knows that Budweiser connects with the average American man. I have a story about Peyton Manning because my wife is from Indianapolis, and I had a friend, we went to Champs in Indianapolis in north of the city in a suburb called Carmel. And they used to go, the Colts used to go to that bar like after a game or like for the team bonding bar outing. And allegedly, Peyton Manning went there with all the guys and the demeanor amongst the staff was that he was trying to hang out, but he wasn't really cool about hanging out. So he was like saying things that were a little crass or being like a little goofy or flirty with the waitress and trying to be a guy's guy, but no one really believed he was trying to be a guy's guy, but that was the impression he was trying to give. So I feel that maybe with the Budweiser comments, that's what it was. He was just sort of saying, like, I bet this is what a cool old guy quarterback who just won the Super Bowl might say. And so, like, you know, like he's a terrible dad joke, kind of. But Manning apparently holds an ownership stake in 2 Anheuser-Busch distributorships in his home state of Louisiana, according to a trade publication, Beer Business Daily. Thanks, anonymous source, for giving me that tip. I didn't know that, and I hadn't read that. I honestly just, even if he didn't, who cares? He kissed Papa John, right? Like, the man is clearly, like, been making money on the side and saving it, and
he's a business genius. That's what I say. That's all I have to say.
I got no problem with him.
He's hustling.
I wish he had hawked a better beer. I wish he had hawked, like, he said, man, I can't wait to get into a case of DC Brow Public Ale and, you know, spend more than $5 on beer, Peyton. Jesus. or better pizza. But whatever. Like, the man's got HGH bills to pay for his his wife's fertility treatment, which I also believe, because I heard that before this all came out, that his wife had trouble getting pregnant, and they were getting fertility drugs, and HGH is one of them. So, like, anyway. but that's my thoughts on Manning. It's fun. Good for him. It's typical Manning, and I would kind of... was a little weird, but not really. Anybody really think anything different about it?
Yeah, I'm going to... Do you mind if I jump in, Scott?
Baseball. Go.
I'm going to pick on all the quarterbacks for everything post-game.
Absolutely.
Again, like Newton, I am not going to be like, oh, this is the worst thing since someone found that you could use sliced bread to murder people.
This, intriguing.
Yeah. But it was a matter of like, okay, we get it, Peyton. You're the pitchman. Your face is everywhere. There's a time and a place to do your pitching, and you know, making out with a pizza dude and calling out a terrible macro brewing beer that honestly I would rather would I rather drink my own piss or Budweiser? It's closer than it should be. I'll tell you that in my head. I just think Peyton, you know, come on, buddy.
Well, wait a minute. Place. I need to push back, Paul, because if he doesn't speak up for Budweiser, then it's frankly, let's talk about it. It's like the middle of the Tostitos post game show brought to you by Meineke, and it's not like the NFL isn't selling every like square inch of the television. So to me, this is a question of like labor versus management, and management's like already clearly like sold everything. And so if labor can make a few bucks selling something too, then we should cut him a break, because we're talking about a league that would basically fine him $10,000 if his towel was wrong and didn't display the Under Armour logo properly.
Yep, I mean your point is valid there. I'm just thinking the guy's made millions and millions, you know. Just understate things a little bit afterwards. It's like,
okay.
That's my point.
I can go with that.
Yeah. Okay. So we're moving on to Paul's comments on the halftime show.
Halftime show. I am an old man is what I learned, because I did not dislike Coldplay all that much, and I know they got some sand kicked in their face. I thought it was fine. It was not the exhibition that Katy Perry was last year, which I also enjoyed. As a man, I have no issue saying that. It was okay. The Bruno Mars, Beyonce, I didn't think they added as much. I honestly thought like they were kind of there because the NFL's like, Coldplay's not a big sell right now. Let's get two people who've previously done halftime shows and throw them in there and give it more mass appeal. So I was kind of mad on that. I thought Coldplay should have been given a little more time to play a few hits, a few more of their hits. But all in all, it was mindless entertainment that did okay for my eardrums, so I was cool with it.
So
I will. Anyone have a reaction to that?
I'll just say that I'm not a huge Coldplay fan, but I'm not like I don't find them objectionable. But like the amount of anger that they were generating, definitely got me thinking about halftime shows across history, recent history, and it's hard to come up with bands or groups or performers that like at least a sizable number of people didn't like. And I came up with Michael Jackson and Prince are the two that I can think of that like pretty much nobody complained about Michael Jackson or Prince, although Prince did have the big dick guitar thing, but that's different. But like Katy Perry had detractors, the great Bruce Springsteen had detractors, like everybody hates something about the halftime show, and it's like most people don't like your favorite band, just like most people don't like your favorite football team. So, you know, screw the haters.
Any thoughts on whether or not the halftime show was racist?
I didn't really. I saw that headline.
Were we talking about the Beyonce's outfit?
Apparently, some people have combined her being in an all-black outfit with all-black dancers and her throwing up a fist at the end. And then apparently, some of the dancers on the field had a sign that said, "Justice for Mario Woods, who was shot and killed by San Francisco police in December."
Okay. But is that racist, or is that...
political.
Okay, the answer is no. Like, as a white person, I'm just gonna duck out of this. But it doesn't sound racist to me. It sounds like maybe that they were, you know, some dancers were bringing attention to a situation that maybe some people think we should be talking about in this country. But racist, I don't know. Much like the beginning of the show, like, I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not. Frank is correct. And he, I think how he obviously states, it's not opinion, it's just fact. And Frank is correct. Now, if they'd come out actually wearing some of the uniforms worn by the Black Panther Party at the time, then that could be an issue. But to throw your fist in the air like Jesse Owens to demonstrate some sort of pride in that way, no, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not like, you know, someone go, you know, Chris Martin going out there and flashing a white power symbol or something, you know, like that. Or them ending the dance with Down with Whitey. I mean, that didn't happen. So no, people who
that was great out, though, when Up with People in the 70s at the halftime show ended the show with Down with Whitey.
Yes. Down. It's a highlight. Okay, so we are going to continue on, and we're getting into the second half, so we will do lightning round style, so we will only do one set of comments from everyone. So, Paul, thoughts? We'll do commercials part one with Paul.
Commercials part one. Should I do best first?
Whatever you want. Whatever.
All right, well, you know, we'll do worst first, because I already said, which I think is worst. I hated Puppy Monkey Baby.
Really?
I mean, it was memorable, it was goofy, but it did not make me laugh, and that was the litmus test. And if you're going to be that goofy, you got to make it laugh. You know, make me laugh. So that was my take. But this will generate controversy, so I'm happy to sit back and listen and drink my honey lemon tea.
I will simply say I thought it was inspired. I thought it stuck with me. I think about Mountain Dew more now. I'm not going to buy it because I don't want a soda that has caffeine and fruit and soda in it. But I thought it was fine. And I also enjoyed the Kevin Hart one to start off, I think.
Ah, damn. You got to. Since this is lightning round, I will say that was my favorite. Sorry.
I've already screwed everything up. So I also liked the Jeep one. The Jeep one where they started with like the history of Jeep and going places and doing things. Frank, any thoughts on commercials? We'll just.
So I didn't see a lot of commercials because we were kind of transporting back and forth. Right. I will say that I was in. This is, by the way, what led me to realize I kind of wanted to quit Twitter for Lent, was I had read an article about, I think it was NAWOL, it was the National Association for Women's, they basically are a pro-choice organization, and they're definitely like left of left, but they were tweeting things about...
They actually want to kill living babies, I think, that's the issue.
It's close.
Like, 4-year-olds.
It's right, like, anyway, that might be a bit over the line, but... but they were listing all of their problems with the commercials, including calling the Snickers commercial with William Dafoe in the Maryland dress. And then he's like, and they were basically calling it transphobic. They were saying like it was like, you know, clearly like just making fun of people in dresses and like. And to me, it's just like he's just in a dress, and it's kind of funny because it's because he's an old cranky guy. Like it's the old cranky guy part that's funny.
They've been running that bit forever. Like
exactly.
This is.
And so they did that, and they were complaining about a lot of things. And to me, it was upsetting because while there are some commercials that suck, and certainly some commercials that are offensive or have been, like to me, they were sort of really just like scraping to be offended, and. I don't know. You guys know me. Like, I'm the first to pick up a flag for a cause here, and I just kind of was like, "This is fucking ridiculous." I mean, and you know, it's not like they had better ideas for commercials. So basically, my thoughts on commercials are: I stand with all of them this year because they should not be subjected to such rigorous nonsense as the free speech censors want to give them. Well, I kind of lost my sense at the end.
Yeah, no. Frank went with the rare First Amendment argument for why we should like all the Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm not even going to be contrarian to that.
I think the only thing that I would note is the surprising lack of TNA. I feel like usually there's a couple good commercials that are just like, here's some
Really attractive
females.
Yeah,
something along the or you know you always had GoDaddy with Danica and you know other.
Right, and those were like trashy commercials that probably we could do without. And there was no like good on the Super Bowl for you know getting rid of some of the more blatant TNA. Instead, exactly. It's like no.
Like we're still our cause will live on even after we've won. Like
right.
It's
there's just no room for the idea that like. Okay, I didn't find that funny, so I'll just move on. It's you know, I didn't find it funny, and here's 10 reasons why I need to be outraged about it for the next 10 seconds, which just causes me agita because I have to read your stupid damn tweet, and then, like, that works me up, and then you've moved on to the next commercial, and I'm still angry. So, like, that's why I needed a break from social media.
Social media in America, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, we'll end with Frank, and that was enough commercial talk.
He's a terrible brother. He's a terrible brother. He's lie, and he can say that he was just, like, thinking about the game score. It's horse shit. I don't buy it for a second, because even if you're thinking about the game score, all the players in the field that are thinking about the game score, and they instantly celebrate and are happy, and they put their arms up, and they think about how they enjoy it for a second. He's a piece of shit, and he's a terrible brother, and he should have just been happy that his brother won another Super Bowl, and instead, he was just thinking about himself, and that's what I've decided to read into that situation. Screw you, Eli.
A lot of heat on the quarterbacks tonight, everybody.
You know, if we hadn't just finished talking about commercials, I might have been a little nicer about it. But, like, really, like, who doesn't even, like, turn around and just, like, give a high five or, like, a little, even, like, a little fist pump would have been good. It was just like, you know, oh, yeah, he's thinking about the game situation. Screw you. Go fucking go away. Go away. Go enjoy the black hole that is going to be the New York Giants for the next 3 years.
I think for me, when I saw it, I think I was a little bit, I think I see the game situation thing a little bit in terms of like, oh, he's thinking about it. But you know what that is? That's him thinking, is it still possible for him to blow it?
Loose.
Is there a way that this could come apart at the seams? Like, because he's like, I've seen my brother piss away enough of these. That it's, if there is a way, he'll find it. And I think that's what he was thinking. He was still like, I'm sure he wanted to be excited, but he's been burned a lot of times by Peyton Manning kind of, you know, not quite getting it done. So I feel like that was probably a bit in the back of his head as he's seeing, the everyone else celebrate.
Yeah. Bullshit.
I'm going halfway in between. I'm saying Scott's assessment is correct, but when he was thinking, is Peyton going to blow it? He was like, oh, I hope Peyton can blow this still. He can do it, right? He couldn't. Got so it. I'll take the happy medium between those two amazing analyses.
Okay. All right. And so with that, we will end our Super Bowl coverage. Join us next year when we will be talking about another Super Bowl, hopefully with the Bills in it. I don't know what we would do on the podcast if the Bills were in the Super Bowl and won or lost it. I feel like we just would need like 3 or 4 weeks to just get our heads together.
We'd probably have to stop podcasting. It'd be like, just like, sorry, everyone, can't do it.
It's kind of like this, exactly what you're talking about, Frank. It's like we had a cause, and when the Bills win the Super Bowl, like, what's the point of the podcast anymore? It's not like, next year anymore.
Yeah, it's like the Fire Jim Bowden website. You know, kind of lost steam after the Nationals fire Jim Bowden.
Yeah. Exactly. Doesn't get a lot of heat anymore. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't. But what's funny is I think we'd have to podcast that night after the game and just change the podcast to, maybe today.
And then, it'd just be like, fuck you, Patriots, or something.
Yeah. Right.
That'd be a great name for a podcast.
B-Bills FYP.
Yes.
Exactly.
Not this week, but next week. Let's talk about whether, or next time, not next week. Let's talk about whether the Denver model is a feasible model for what the Bills are trying to do.
Okay. Absolutely. I tweeted that during the game because, it's food for thought. Average quarterback play, great defense, like I alluded to. Trent Dilfer would have done just fine. And
right.
Scott, for Christ's sake, just said that there's a chance Ryan Fitzpatrick could have won the game, admitting that with his defense. So that we'll is definitely a relevant conversation for next podcast.
Absolutely. I think that'll be that will join us in the off season for a lot of garbage topics like that. No, that's a good
topic. No, it's a garbage shot call. Yeah, absolutely. Like, because there's no way to know the answer. So
No, I think that's fun. But we will talk is about something that's a lot less fun, and that will almost certainly affect the Bills next season in terms of their Super Bowl odds, which is LeSean McCoy decided to go back to Philadelphia and go to a club. And if you are familiar with what most football coaches will tell you when they're talking to their players about what to do on the weekend, is that nothing good will happen if you're out after midnight. And LeSean McCoy found that out at about 2:45 Sunday night when he was involved, and this is today ESPN confirming that Captain Frank Banford of the Philadelphia Police was definitely, says, LeSean McCoy was definitely involved in an alleged nightclub assault Sunday, and said that he may not be charged yet, but that charges are coming in the incident. So, in case you haven't heard, supposedly it was about a bottle of champagne, and whether the champagne was intended for LeSean McCoy's table or for these off-duty police officers who were apparently also buying the champagne. Some people got injured. Some people got very hurt.
Stomping.
Let's see. So one officer.
And it was Clarbell champagne, for crying out loud. No, I made that up. I'm sure it was actually good champagne.
Farm. It was one officer was treated for a cut to his right eye, a broken nose, broken ribs, and a sprained thumb. The other officer was admitted to a hospital, received 8 stitches for his left eye, and had a possible skull fracture. And there was also an orbital fracture involved in the incident. So obviously, not a good situation for LeSean. So, and honestly, I think our readers or our listeners kind of hit to the kind of the crux of the matters here, basically, as far as
the crux of the football matters, at least, yeah.
Yeah, in terms of obviously, I hope that justice is done in this case, I guess. To the extent that it can be. Obviously, there's videos, and I'm sure the legal system will have to sort itself out, and I'm sure that you could go into a long discussion about off-duty police officers and young black men or older black men or whatever, and we don't need to do that because we can just worry about the football part.
And the nice thing is we don't even have to go into race on this topic because the cops were also black.
Absolutely. So thank God for that. yes, and now that's also racist because why wasn't it white cops who got injured, Scott?
Stop talking. Okay.
So,
where do we want to start? Yeah, start with Steven's question.
Steven's question says, when a player gets in legal trouble, do you feel the league should wait until the legal system runs its course or do its own parallel independent investigation and come to its own conclusions? And I will start with Frank because he seems raring to go.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the second here in a lot of cases, unless there is a legitimate question as to whether something happened or not. I watched the video. I see like the guy they're pointing out to be LeSean McCoy. I can't say that's LeSean McCoy. But what I find impossible is that like an entire group of people and LeSean McCoy was at this bar. Like if they know he was there and they know, like I'm certain it's him. Right, like I'm certain that they didn't just like pick LeSean McCoy's name out of a hat. So in this instance, he's clearly done something untoward and unprofessional, and frankly dangerous and probably illegal. But even if it turns out to not be illegal in this case, if they decide not to charge him or they whatever, there's something to be said for how he conducted himself. So short of some sort of like evidence of him like defending himself only and really sort of like, you know, trying not to be a good citizen. Like there are reasons why there are appearances clauses and morality clauses, for lack of a better word, for athletes and entertainers. Because as Paul pointed out in the advertising discussion, these guys are not just football players. They're ambassadors of a brand. They're the reasons we tune in. And there is ample evidence that the public does not appreciate people who get paid millions of dollars acting like fools and doing illegal things and then turning around and getting paid millions of dollars to play football. And if, you know, the NFL doesn't address those situations, whether they are, charged with something or not, to me is a problem for their brand. And those things are all in the contract, they're in the CBA, those types of things that you know, it doesn't have to be illegal. And so yeah, the NFL should entirely enforce these types of things when their independent investigation or if the legal system comes up with something that clearly was wrong. There was wrongdoing here, and my guess is, I don't want to jump to too many conclusions, but my guess is LeSean McCoy probably did something fairly wrong that evening, and so the NFL should probably discipline him.
Yeah, I would concur. And to go to Steven's question, I have no, I actually am in favor of the parallel and independent investigation, but I would think as a prerequisite of that, you must include, you know, things that go through the legal sure. system and the ultimate legal determination as well. And I think that needs to be a huge component of the independent investigation. And the, you know, what was disappointing, I'll go into the issue briefly because I think Scott hit on it very well when he recapped it, which is, you know, nothing good happens after midnight. And, of course, a lot of people always say, well, what about sex and drugs? And I'm like, well, you're a professional athlete. You know, you can, you know, probably pick up a woman if you want to by 9, 10 p.m., go back to your place. You've stayed inside. And then if you want to do drugs, I believe in the NFL, you can do it once. You can get caught once and you're okay. And they just warn you. And then after that, you're in trouble. So you can do that until you get caught one time. So why the hell are you out after, you know, 2 a.m.? Bad decision making. And he was clearly, as Frank noted, involved in something he shouldn't be. The Philadelphia mayor just came out a few minutes ago, actually, and said, you know, LaShawn McCoy wants to pound our officers and stomp our officers, and he needs to pay the price and answer for his actions. And I don't disagree with him.
Yeah.
You know, if he was involved in that process, you know, he needs to be punished, whatever the severity of that is. And I think the league and the NFL should conduct its own investigation. I think they need to take in whatever comes out of this in terms of the law, and I think LaShawn needs to be punished for what he did once it's determined the extent of what he did.
I think I agree with everyone so far. I think the only thing that I would add is perhaps that the NFL needs to think about how to be flexible in these situations in terms of, like, you know, you can suspend someone for, unlike the Ray Rice thing where it was like, we're going to suspend you for 2 games. It's like, oh, actually, no, we're going to suspend you for more. There's no reason that you can't have something be a preliminary suspension or a suspension contingent on further investigation or something like that. And then if you're found to be without charge, I mean, obviously, yeah, if it's during the season, your team's not going to get those games back. But these are also professional athletes, and they care as much about being paid sometimes as they do as anything else. And if you got all your money back, that all your game checks that you would have gotten, I feel like, you know, again, yeah, it's your time, it's your reputation, it's other things. But if your reputation, you already ruined your reputation by getting involved in something, and, you know, to a certain extent, you're getting paid, so that's all you can really ask for at some level. That's all anything's guaranteed, is getting paid to do your job. So we'll go to Steve's second question about a one-strike
policy. Just like to quickly point out, still sure. Not the worst thing ever done by a Bills running back.
No, not even close.
Yep, absolutely.
Terrible. It's a terrible thing, but it was. We've had a couple of them actually, but
it might not even be top two or it might not even be top three or four. I mean, I don't know much about Cookie Gilchrist. You know what he was up to.
Honestly, Marshawn Lynch definitely ran over a woman, and you know.
And honestly, Travis Henry had the 8 kids.
Yeah.
And
there's nothing wrong with that,
Scott. You are not even giving Travis enough credit.
There's nothing wrong in and of itself of having 8 kids with a bunch of different women. It's like
it's not great, by the way, is
11 children by 10 different women.
There you go. Well,
it says at least on this link. I don't know.
Of course
if
it does.
More.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you know the Hall of Famer as well, right? But anyway, I digress. Oh, right.
And then there was that other guy.
We're talking about Tim Tyndale. No, I don't think he ever did anything.
Speaking of infractions that should be subject to a one strike policy. I mean, I guess one strike what? Like one strike and you're banned from the league. One strike, you're banned for a couple
of games. I think that's what he means when he says one strike policy, and then he says obviously murder, of course. So, you know, I think Steven's saying one strike and you're out.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. So let's say there was a one strike and you're out of the league forever policy. What would go into that? In my mind, yeah, I mean, murder.
I think punting on fourth down on your side of the field.
I think
when you're down less than 7 with under 2 minutes.
Yep.
Breaking any of the 10 commandments. If you're not keeping the Sabbath holy, I'm sorry.
Right. Any not violations of
your honor,
Sharia law.
Mother or father.
Yeah, no, right.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of mandatory minimums in any regard, let alone like one strike policy kind of stuff. I think he's right. If you kill someone, you should probably go away. I think crimes like rape and things like domestic violence are nearly as bad, if not as bad.
I think in that
I don't want to say like you should have your life, you know, but it's a different kind of livelihood, right? Because it's not like we're saying these people can't go back to work, but we're saying maybe you shouldn't be allowed to do this because this should be for special people who are good at this and also can do, also live within a certain, you know, the constraints of society.
Allows the league to maintain some sort of image as not being a bunch of rapists and murderers.
Right.
And I think in some level, I mean, obviously, here's the thing, and it's arguably, this gets obviously back into the first question, is when you're talking about murder and rape, like, obviously, you know, Mike Tyson was convicted of rape and he was gone for, what, like 2 or 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're convicted of murder, you're going to be, or manslaughter, you're probably going to be on the bench for 5 years, like, in jail. So that's going to really put a dent in your career.
Right.
Now, it's not, so I feel like if you've literally gone and served your time for, like, let's say a manslaughter, I feel like at that point, what can you do, like, other than, I mean, like, right. Anything the NFL does to you at that point is really just kind of like, you know, I don't know that that's really serving a special brand of justice. Like, that's going to, I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe it's for their image and they just have to do it, but I don't know. Maybe it depends on if you're remorseful or if you care. I don't know. I mean.
Well, I mean, Michael Vick didn't, like, they suspended
Yeah, that's where I'm thinking is, right. That, yeah, is they suspended like him for a year.
Yeah, on top of his jail time.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger, but I mean, you look at like Roethlisberger pled out on something that was like clearly like a disgusting thing that he did. Richie Incognito missed some time, you know. Ray Rice was going to miss 4 games until the video came out. I mean, I don't know. I guess that's not Steven's question. Steven's question is saying what should it be, but
right.
I mean, it's clearly what it is not a one-strike policy, and I don't think they're going to do that anytime soon. That's the other thing with this is, like, I don't know, the Bills literally kept a guy who punched a kid this year. So, like, I don't know, where does punch a kid rank with beating, you know, severely injuring off-duty cops? Is that comparable? Like, is it the same? Is it different? Is it,
yeah.
Like, does
so
it
I think,
matter how much they think about Carlos Williams? Like, does that change? Like if there was a good replacement for Aaron Cromer available, would they have just dumped him? Like,
I think this is a good example. I think this is the answer to Steven's question is, I think it's probably very difficult to have a one-strike policy because there are right. So many variables that we have an incredibly long-winded and intricate legal code that's designed to attempt to preserve some sort of fairness in our day-to-day lives, and trying to have a private corporation replicate that with any kind of real honesty or fairness is going to be very difficult.
But. In which case, does that undermine my point that they should be doing their own investigation about who should be suspended? Sure. Should it only be the legal system and whether you've broken the law or not?
I mean, the sad thing is that what that does is it can you do an independent legal investigation? And I think to a certain extent, you would need your own, you know, really good police and independent
the Gestapo.
The NFL Gestapo, they come break down your doors. Is there drugs in here? So, yeah, it's really tough. And I feel like, unfortunately, what that ends in is the NFL just does stuff based off of what the media makes into a big deal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that ends up punishing certain players more than others based on their profile or their importance to teams or various other things. But ultimately, the NFL is a corporation, and to the extent that it is trying to run a business, that's all it's trying to do is avoid bad press, and you bring bad press, that's what you're going to get punished for. So,
right.
Unfortunately, their only responsibility is to their shareholders, which are the owners at this point. Which is hideous.
As much as I've enjoyed really the substantive discussion on this, it's missing that 82nd lightning round sort of element that spices up. So with that in mind, my take on this, or my contribution to this discussion, I am going to list a very short list of felonies, and if you feel like no matter what the factors were behind it, if it's an automatic one strike and you're out, you say yes. And if you're
out, is this
what we did?
No.
So here we go.
Is this murder. Convicted murder?
Convicted.
Yes.
Convicted murder, yes. That's
I say yes as well. So 3 yeses.
Let me quickly answer. this is like what my NFL would look like, right? Like, so I, yes. Okay. All right.
Aggravated battery.
Aggravated battery. I'm going to say no. There's too many variables in that kind of equation.
I'm going to say no, too.
I'm going to say no, also too many variables. Manslaughter.
Yes.
Manslaughter, I'm going to say no. I mean, are we including vehicular manslaughter?
Drunk driving? We'll get to that.
Okay. So if it's manslaughter and it wasn't drunk driving, then that's probably a yes then.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say, since it was unintentional, I'm going to go with the variables argument again. But okay. I'll be in the minority. Yeah. This will be a good one. Animal cruelty.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes, too. I don't want to make it seem like I'm always going last here. I think Michael Vick got a break, and I think this should be a yes.
I mean, see, that's the thing. Like, I feel like if I say no, then it makes me like I'm in favor of torturing animals.
No, you're okay.
Yeah, to be in favor, none of us are in favor of any of these things except trees.
Right, like, we're not saying, like, you don't, like, get a penalty. Or, like,
no one strike.
It's just a... No just means that you think there might be mitigating circumstances that would...
Right, or that you to get that second chance that Steven...
Or even that it's a second chance. At some point, you could come back. So, yeah, I'd say no to that.
All right. Now, I did say don't keep... I'm going to throw a twist in what Scott said, because he said, oh, what about vehicular manslaughter? And I said, well, we'll get to that later. But I kind of screwed Scott over here, because it's actually vehicular homicide. What if you just run over someone with your car and you weren't thinking, oh, I'm going to murder them, but you weren't thinking, I hope they don't die. You just run them over.
Yeah, so I know,
like
that's...
Hit and run, kind of?
Yeah?
Yes.
I'll also say yes.
And you're convicted?
Yep. These are all convictions, by the way, because obviously you could say I murdered JFK and I could argue, oh, I wasn't alive yet. Oh, yeah, you're off. So got to be convicted.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think so.
All right, we'll do four more since I think we're having to we like to overdo it by one or two. So I think four will overdo it by one or two. Arson.
Ooh, arson, huh?
Yeah.
Firebug.
Arson's really dangerous and it's pretty reckless. But I'm gonna say no.
I will also say no, I think, because there are therapies that can help treat this more effectively. So I'll also say no.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, too, just because of, I mean, I think, I don't know, I haven't been at that many arson trials, so I don't know what the burden of proof is for arson, but I don't know if there could be extenuating circumstances that could maybe make me think that you were not as, you wanted to cause some damage, but you didn't want to burn anything, you didn't want to burn the whole house down, kind of. Right. Even then, that's borderline, but still.
This will be a nice, this will be, and I'll save this for the grand finale. Tax evasion, I will say now.
Yes.
Really?
There's nothing I hate worse than a person who's not a good citizen.
Frank's in favor of the death penalty for tax evasion, actually. No, I can't say one strike and you're out for tax evasion.
Yeah. All right, kidnapping.
Yes.
Convicted of kidnapping?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Hey, Steven asked the question. You know, these are the things we got to think about here.
I got to go no there because you got a lot of paternity, maternity things. You got a lot of, interested parties. People get accused of things. I know convictions are, convictions, but at the same time, like, I don't know that I could say it's one strike and you're out there.
See, I'm going to say yes because I think convictions are convictions. That's my take on it.
You have strong convictions about convictions.
I think maybe I'm letting my actual morality sleep in here too much and not thinking like an NFL owner.
Yes.
In which case I probably would. Actually, yeah, I'm going to change my DS for kidnapping.
Frank?
No, I said yes.
I've
said yes to almost everything. So.
All right, last two, child porn. I say yes.
Yeah, that's a yes. That's a yes. If it's like something like a Jared Fogle kind of child porn, yeah.
Wait, I don't say that because now I have my follow-up question is like, what's the other kind of child porn?
I mean, it's like, I don't know. Like,
if like taking a picture, like a 17-year-old girl sends you a photo.
Yeah, that's the thing.
As the lawyer, I'm going to just remind everyone that this is a strict liability law. It has nothing to do with intent. So
okay.
It can be an accident, and it's still just as the thing. So my hang up on this one is, and I want to say yes, but my hang up on this one is, I feel like this is something that is like the arson example for me, where I feel like this would be better served with giving people help and not sort of excluding them from society in a way that we do now. But fuck it, yes. Just, you know, you have to go. Just have to go away and get help.
If you're in the NFL, I feel like it's, you're probably gonna have
for your safety.
Yeah, I said yes. Yeah.
Yes, and all our listeners, you can look forward to the B-Bills MNY Law & Order SVU crossover coming up next week.
Right.
All right, the last one, the grand finale.
Oh, jeez.
This is for you, Frank. Copyright infringement.
I'm going to say no, because hopefully it's like a DJ who's making some sweet beats and tunes.
I'll also say no.
I'll say no there,
too. No, yeah. All right. That was my contribution to the topic.
That was enjoyable. Okay.
Well done.
So, and we'll now conclude the LeSean McCoy discussion, and I don't know how much more we want to go beyond this. I think we had some other things on the we'll have one more topic after this, but briefly, what are we going to do about running back now? Do we feel like we need to go out and get someone else, or are we okay going into the season with Williams and Gillislee?
Yeah, Brian had a good, interesting observation on that there. It was kind of funny. He was talking about a donation to the police department of Philadelphia. I would rather they both had surprisingly good years. Let's not confuse surprisingly good with surefire, no-doubter guys. I remember Gillislee's been released 40 times or something like that already, obviously exaggerating. So I hope they can step up. They very well may. But I think you got to build some depth just in case.
I'm okay with them because I think they're gonna keep McCoy, and I think McCoy's gonna miss 3 or 4 games, and so I think you might need another body. But I don't know that you need to go get a running back. Like if you want to draft one in the 3rd round or something again, I'd be on board for that. But McCoy's gonna play football here in Buffalo, and it's gonna be dealt with, and he's gonna be suspended, and that's gonna be it. Might be who is the? There was a Raven running back who had to go to jail for a little bit or something. I forget who it was.
Was it Jamal Lewis? Maybe I can't.
Jamal Lewis, yeah. Yeah. I think it's like that. It's gonna be a certain number of games. I don't think it'll even get to 8. My guess is it'll be like 4 games. And,
yeah, I could see 4 to 6. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think we need to go out and get anybody. I think we can, just treat it as an injury. He's out for a couple of weeks, and then we'll hold on the fort until he gets back. So Brian had a very interesting question also about going back to the start of the Marv Levy era. What are our favorite lesser-known Bills players, and who deserves more national recognition? We are going to come back to that in the off season. Because we are always running out of things to talk about in the off season because there's nothing to talk about. But we do.
And I've already added that to our future podcast list, which show you how valuable it is to me. I actually use Microsoft Notepad to put these topics on there. So
that's a secure kind of thing to do. But we will kind of, this is, I forget, Frank, do we call it a season at the draft or do we call it a season at free agency? And we start the next
season. We need to call it a season soon. I think we usually do 1 or 2 more. We could call it, let me look at that.
Maybe go Google that really quick. So season's wrapping up, we usually try and do a 3 stars of the season. I always have my 3 stars of the week, but we want to kind of put a bow on the season, and as part of that, we'll do 3 stars of the season. And I will have mine. If anyone else would like to suggest or add stars, they're welcome to do so. They'll, of course, not be official, because this right is exclusively mine. I am the only one who gives out stars. But obviously, it's a podcast, so people may care what you think. I obviously don't. So obviously there's lots of potential honorable mentions. A lot of guys on defense. I think Ronald Darby had a really great season, obviously much more than I think anyone could expect. Stephon Gilmore obviously did as well. Kyle Williams, when he was in there, was very good. Marcell Dareus was consistently ranked very high. But and Jerry Hughes, you know, if he didn't have as many absolutely backbreaking, stupidly, completely poorly timed penalties, unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, he might have had a stronger run. Because I did want to try and get someone on the defense on the three stars, but it didn't happen. Did not happen. So your third star for the 2015 Buffalo Bills is Richie Incognito, left guard.
Ooh.
A bit of a controversial selection, as previously stated. A bit of a history of a bully, being a bully, because he bullied people. But at the same time, he was really good at left guard this year. He was consistently ranked as one of the better left guards in the season. Regardless of who was running the ball for the Bills, they had lanes to go through, and frequently they were to the left side. And some of that's obviously Cordy Glenn kind of having a bit of a bounce back season. But I think to the extent that we were the number one rushing team in the league, you have to give credit to the offensive line. And so that, I think, the best one was Incognito. So he is your third star. Your second star is going to be Sammy Watkins. 60 catches, 1,047 yards, 9 touchdowns. Again, with some games missed, I don't have his game log right in front of me right now, but at least one or two games that he missed.
I think it's at least two.
At least two. Obviously, you know, we hope for better health with our wide receivers next year. Percy Harvin looked like he was going to be able to do stuff, but then as often happens with Percy Harvin, he got injured. Robert Woods, again, I am a big fan of, but injured throughout the whole season and ineffective when he was in there. Chris Hogan, off year for him. So a lot of the offense, and Charles Clay had two or three good games, but was not quite the dominant tight end that you would expect, that given the amount of money that we're paying him, perhaps, but certainly not enough to get him into the stars. And that is why Sammy Watkins, as kind of the I don't want to say he's the straw that stirs the drink, but maybe he's the ice. Like, you can have a drink without ice, but it's a lot better with ice. I correct?
Right, yeah.
I'm with you, yeah.
I'm exactly. A Manhattan on the rocks guy.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, again, the Bills would have had success on offense this season, again, with the running game and with, hint, hint, our first star. But at the same time, Sammy Watkins was someone who definitely, you know, was able to get open consistently, make great plays, and he backed up after he said that he needed the ball more. He backed it up with more catches and better play overall, and I think that bodes well for the future. And then you get to your first star, who, as previously hinted, Tyrod Taylor. The Bills were 8-6 in games that he started, which is pretty freaking awesome, if you ask me. And I understand quarterback wins, not really a thing. I'll buy that. It's, you know, again, Peyton Manning. when you're 0-2 and he's not starting, that is also something. So Tyrod Taylor, again, 3,000 yards passing, 63% completion percentage, an average of 8 yards an attempt, which is pretty fantastic. And then 20 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions, one of the top-rated quarterbacks in the league, in addition to having 500 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns, made the Pro Bowl. Not surprising to people who've been listening to the podcast, I'm a big Tyrod Taylor fan. I think he's going to work out well for us. He didn't ask me anything on Reddit the other day. Not particularly insightful. I don't need my quarterback to be lighting it on fire and hilarious like Fred Smoot on his Ask Me Anythings. I am perfectly happy him kind of going to bed at midnight and worried about getting that play right the next day. So Tyrod Taylor is your first star of the Bills season. Gentlemen, thoughts?
I liked your stars. I would add one, subtract one. I think I would put number 3 as Stephon Gilmore, and then I would flip.
Damn it.
I would flip. Sorry, Frank. I would flip Tyrod and Sammy. I'd put Sammy 1. I think he was most instrumental in success.
Wow.
I think Tyrod was a revelation at quarterback and did more than any of us expected by far. And I'd throw Stephon in there simply because even though he only played 12 games, he was the shutdown corner that Rex Ryan advertised he was. And I feel bad that I jumped in instead of Frank.
Yeah, no, I kept the order, Tyrod and then Sammy for 1-2, but I had Stephon Gilmore as the third star as well, 12 games, 3 picks, 18 passes defended. He was amazing. I had McCoy as the honorable mention and Ronald Darby as well, sort of as a shout-out for really an excellent rookie campaign as well. I mean, so, but no, I mean, Gilmore to me was good enough on defense, and if he had played all 16 games, I think that it would have been a no-doubter third star, even for Scott. But for me, he did enough in those 12 games to show that he was worthy. That's why I don't care about the stars.
Exactly. Well, again, I appreciate your thoughts. Yep. Again, not as important as mine on this particular topic. Mm-hmm. I think Stephon played really well, and I think, it hurt a little bit that he didn't play the whole time, but, I mean, none of the other stars actually played, I think, every game except Incognito. Also, still the 20th-ranked defense in the league, or whatever it was. So
yep.
It's kind of like you can't be the MVP on a 20th-ranked team to a certain extent. So we are rapidly approaching the end of this show. Frank, what was the verdict on when we start the new seasons?
So we started season 4 April of last year, which was the draft class episode. It says Nonsense Abounds in our draft preview, which okay. isn't much of a preview. Also, we pick an alternate version of the Bills schedule where one key fact is changed every time. So that's where that started in the season 4 debut in April. So we will finish season 3 with probably some more Bills review stuff. We will probably end up talking some free agency. We usually give lip service to the combine because, I don't know, because it's there.
Because we're doing an NFL podcast, and by God, they sure. give us content.
Right. So we'll probably do all that, and then sometime before the draft, we'll do a preview, or perhaps right after the draft. We could do it either way. We know we're pretty fluid. We don't want you to always know where the cliffhanger is going to happen.
Absolutely. You know. So, yes, as we wind down season 4, and we head into the long winter slumber, the long spring and summer slumber of NFL offseason. Thank you for being with us so far this year, and we'll see you on the next time around.
When is else? The NFL free agency?
March 1st.
March 1st. And when's the combine?
I believe it's before then.
Yeah.
I feel like we would do it after the free agency period begins because I don't think, like, last year we could have done a free agency preview because I feel like it would have been relevant and we had more cap space. This year, the only priorities, and gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong, are getting rid of Mario after his cap number goes down and making sure that we can keep Glenn in Incognito. Either we will or we won't. There's not too much more to say other than I think it's clear that Doug Whaley wants them both back and everyone agrees that we should try and get them back.
Yep. April 28th to 30th, by the way, on the combine.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, okay. So that's I read something about if they were to dump McCoy, it wouldn't make sense until after basically the start of the season, and they would get some sort of benefit for doing that. So that's probably won't happen straight away anyway. If it were to happen at all. McCoy. LeSean McCoy.
Oh, was anyone expecting us to cut him?
Oh, with the nonsense with his fighting. I don't think he's gonna get cut, but that's been a story that people have
suggested that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll have to debate this if he does in fact get charged with copyright infringement.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, I think we'll probably do the next one it will probably be in the middle of March. I think that's fair to say, and free agency will have started and we'll have a better idea of how teams look and maybe we can start
last thoughts on the season, and then I don't know. We'll have some other good topics to talk about, like Brian's question about underappreciated Bills over the last 25
years. Yes.
So, any other final thoughts, gentlemen?
No, I'm good.
No, I need to rest the voice for next podcast.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to speak at all between now and then.
Yes, right. So, and as a...
End of story, period, space.
Space. And as longtime listeners know, we do kind of start taking more longer breaks now that we've entered the offseason. So, yeah, you will see us again probably in the middle of March. So, until then, it's been fun, and my name is Scott.
I'm Harvey Fierstein and Paul.
And I'm Frank.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Boop, 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 boop.